Hello, tile friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Tile Money Podcast. My name is Luke Miller, your host, and this is the podcast where we discuss all things business of tile. Today, we've got another great interview. I am excited to have Ed Martinez with me today to talk about his flooring business. And he's about a year into his business, so it's exciting to talk to somebody who's a little bit newer in business and maybe going through some things. And I'm curious to know where we're going to talk about it, what direction we're going to take this. We're going to talk a lot about entrepreneurship, the mindset that comes with being an entrepreneur, and lots of exciting stuff here. Ed's pumped up, and I'm glad to have him on the show today. I want to take a minute real quick to thank our sponsors. I want to thank Happy Tile Guy. That is where you can find websites designed for tile and flooring contractors, happytileguy.com. I want to thank the NTCA, the National Tile Contractors Association. I want to thank Laydecrete. I want to thank GoBoard. All of these sponsors, friends, GoBoard, Laydecrete, National Tile Contractors Association, they are investing in tile money. They believe that this, they see that this is helping you, the tile contractors out there. This is good for the industry. And so these are the companies that are putting back into the community. So please take a moment to research these companies, GoBoard, Laydecrete, the NTCA. If you're not familiar with any of these, just ask me. I'll get you a link. There's links in the show notes. I don't want to go on too long about it right now, but what I do want to say is these are the companies that are giving back into the community, and what a beautiful thing it is. They believe in investing in you to strengthen the tile industry. So please reach out to GoBoard, Laydecrete, or the NTCA. Let them know that you appreciate that they are supporting Tile Money and allowing this podcast to be free of charge to you. All right. Without further ado, let's bring on Ed. Hello, Ed.
Howdy, Luke. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
Doing pretty well.
Good day now. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for being a guest on the podcast and supporting Tile Money. I know you listen and you support us on Patreon, and I appreciate that.
Yes, I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're at in the world, what your business currently looks like, and what you specialize in?
Well, we're currently live in North Texas, specifically Fort Worth, Texas. We do have a traveling crew. So, I mean, if we have to be on the road, I try and keep my guys on the road about 2 weeks. And if not, you know, we usually do a lot of local work.
So if you're on the road, you try to limit it to 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Yeah, you start getting a lot of, not sluggishness, you start getting a lot of burnout after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're hitting that mark right now. So we're ready to head home.
Are you?
Yeah.
And you're currently in Denver, is that right?
Yes, Denver, Arvada, Colorado, right next to Denver. So.
Oh yeah. So what kind of work are you doing that took you to Denver? Obviously, is it commercial work or?
Mm-hmm. It's currently overnight remodels for a large retailer in food. So I'm going to actually mention. Can I mention their name or?
Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah.
It's currently Target. We do a lot of Target remodel work right now.
Okay.
And there's not a lot of contractors that deal with them. So we're in a really good spot and we're really pumped up and we're getting in there. We're just, they're becoming a breeze now, just doing them in our sleep.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you're remodeling what, the bathrooms specifically?
No, currently the carpet right now. Just moving every fixture, getting all the carpet out, getting it all down, putting all the fixtures back, you know, right before they walk in.
Okay. Sounds like, and they don't close this. Do they close the store or they don't close the store?
Yeah, they close the store about 10 p.m. and usually open around 7 to 8.
Sure. So normal working hours. So you've got your 10-hour window, your 10-hour day, night shift, and you got to be out of there.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Now, how did you get into that? I mean, you're a year in business. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, a little bit under a year, probably 7-8 months or less. I don't know.
So take us back. I mean, how did you end up doing these Target stores like this? I mean, it seems like a pretty good gig for commercial work. It seems like, you know, you're able to keep your crews busy and you know, is it profitable? Tell us about, you know, how that happened.
Well, we've actually been specializing in commercial retail pretty much the last 15 years while working under my father, his teams and crews.
Okay.
And we were working with a lot smaller clients, with Broadloom, LVT, VCT. Occasionally ceramic with Kohl's, doing the aisles for those. But I actually just posted a goofy video of myself driving my ride on, and a project manager spotted the carpet and asked me if I was doing a target. And I didn't know who it was, so I was cautious and I told him, I don't know. And he said, you know, I have 10, 11 of them for you. And if you can do them, I was like, yeah, I'll do them. So I ended up with 3 months straight of work, you know.
Just from a random video.
Just from a little event, random, like 45-second video.
On Instagram?
On Facebook, actually.
Yeah.
Isn't that a goofy video? Yeah, I mean, it netted me, I mean, almost 80% of my gross for the year, you know, just for making a goofy 30-second video. So I hit the jackpot, and I'm really grateful. I'm very fortunate for what I do.
Incredible. Incredible. And how big of a crew are you running for those?
My standard crew is 5 guys. Myself, my 2 installers, and my 2 laborers. Okay. On these overnight remodels, we have to move the fixtures as well. So I bring on 2 to 3 people, depending if we're local. Right now, we're about 6 out of town. But I run 8 in town, just so we have an easy time. I'd rather work less, you know, have an easy night than work harder. So.
Yeah. And so you keep a crew, like a skeleton crew, back in Texas to, you know, handle any jobs coming in or finishing up work or starting new work?
Yeah, usually my father, he flies in from Mexico, and my brother, they get to work. But, you know, my brother's an accountant, so he only helps him out when they have little gigs. Yeah. But I keep the main crew just on the good jobs, profitable jobs. We're really proficient at what we do, so everybody knows their part. Everybody does their part really well.
Nice, nice. And so... What else does your business handle besides that? I mean, locally there in Texas, what kind of work are you doing?
Well, at the beginning, since our first year in business, we actually did a lot of small gigs, like offices, you know, hallways in schools, just little stuff. It was really slow. But yeah, we did a lot of schools this summer and early in the year, you know, gyms and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of your specialty. Do you do any tile work or is it mainly carpet and flooring?
Yeah, we do ceramic, just about 10%. You know, we'll do the occasional, you know, tile or concrete hallways, you know, as, you know, and retailers.
Excellent. And so what learning curves have you had here within this first year? I mean, you've kind of, you know, you were brought up in the trade, you know, you saw your father doing things. Did you know what big lessons have you had to learn here that maybe you weren't expecting, maybe caught you off guard type of thing?
Well, I attempted to run the business years ago and I failed just miserably.
Right?
I had to accept that it was me who failed.
Okay.
And then I just started surrounding myself with better contractors, such as yourself, like I mentioned earlier in the year, I have several mentors. I tell myself,
right.
And I started reading with Mr. Kyle Hedin and just all these books. I just started eating them up. Like I loved it. I was reading a book a week. So yeah. I went through like 20 books at the beginning of this year.
Wow.
And I just I gained a lot of confidence. I was able to talk to people better. I was able to lead conversations. And then I was more proficient at leading my team and teaching people. And then my team just got way better and everything got easier.
Incredible. What are your top, do you have a top couple books you could mention?
Well, Profit First. I mentioned you about that.
I remember that.
As soon as I read that, as soon as I started applying that, I felt like I didn't have a single worry about my bills. Like it wasn't stressful for what I had anymore. I could just see my money and I could control it. And I was like, oh, now I need to use my money to make more money. So,
right.
What's another one?
I remember you reached out to me and you asked me about this book, Profit First by Sean Van Dyke. And I was just looking at it here the other day.
it's my Bible.
Yeah, this is a good one. And it's based off of, essentially it's a Mike Kalowitz book that Sean kind of teamed up and crafted it for contractors. And I did interview him. It was cool the way you reached out and you were like, have you heard of this author and this book? And I said, oh, I remember what it was. You're like, you should interview Sean. And I was like, I just did a few months ago. So that was perfect.
Yeah. And I went and listened to it right away.
And Sean is actually, we're in talks to get him to speak at some of my Tile Money business workshops here in next year, 2021. So look forward to that as well. That'll be good. And we're going to record that too. So if you can't make it, we'll put it on YouTube.
All right. I'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you think of any other good books?
Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And then the other one, it's one of the Jocko Willink books. I'm not sure. I read both of them. So, Dichotomy of Leadership.
Okay.
After I read the first one, I'm not sure which one the first one's called, but, since I work in small teams, just understanding leadership roles was really important to me. Mm-hmm. That sometimes I don't just have to be a leader. I can be a follower. So, I teach my new guys, specifically that they should be consistent on asking for help and that I work for them. They don't work for me.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to help out everybody when I can.
So you're actually teaching and empowering people on your crew to take the lead.
Yes. Yeah. I want to.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. That would be something that I say most contractors, men especially, probably struggle with is letting go of that control. So what are you doing? Do you struggle with that? I mean, is that coming natural or is it just something you know you have to do?
Well, it's gotten really good feedback. Specifically, one of my my new installers, you gotta have to start from the beginning. You can't recruit the old fashioned installers. They tend to know everything and they don't want to learn your system and way of doing things. We had a conversation lately. He said that we're kind of relying on him too much to lead the fixture moving because that's part of our project that we're doing. Mm. And I told him, hey, look, I'll help you out. I'll give you a hand. You know, I realize that we're putting a lot of weight on you. So I'll jump in. And then, so I actually give him more installation time now because he actually wants to learn to install. I want him to get the experience. I want him to be next to my foreman, my other installers. You know, I want him there so he can learn. Mm-hmm. And so I tell him, hey, look, I'm going to go move stuff. You go install. Even though I'm more proficient at it, I tell myself. I'd rather have someone learning.
Yeah. You see the value in maybe sacrificing some time, you know, because he wants to, he has that desire. So you're nurturing that desire. You're saying, okay, I'll take the back seat. I'll push the broom or do whatever, you know, and let you install. And then we'll see how you do, huh?
Yeah. I mean, lately I showed him the technique a few times and then I just walk away and I don't even, you know, maybe I'll check the work down the road. I'm, you know, cross my fingers, everything's okay. But so far it's worked really well. He's gotten really well. The other installers that have been training in town, they've all been picking up really fast.
Yeah. That's really cool. With a business like yours, one of the first things I would, you know, one of the things I've thought about while we're talking here, I believe you said like 80% of your revenue or your workload has come from basically one client, right? Is that correct?
Yes. Because with the slowdown, our main client that we've had with my father for over 11 years, they were heavily invested into just basic retail, nothing grocery, anything. So they got hit really hard. And we started doing a lot of local work, which is not as profitable. It's a lot of trips back and forth. It's very, very cheap. You're doing a lot more expenses. So in April, I made about $100 actually.
Oh, wow.
At the end of the month.
Yeah.
But I wanted to keep my guys paid. You know, I knew I would make it. So I set a bare minimum. I said, this is the minimum I will pay you to come to work. It's a livable wage and these jobs are not profitable. So don't be upset if we're making less, you know?
So you had open communication with the team. It sounds like, hey, look, this is where we're at.
Yeah. I do my best to be honest with them. I don't try and hide anything from them. You know, they do so well. Constantly yelling at the moment.
Yeah, no worries. How far do you take that, you know, policy of being open?
Well, I try and keep the, because how we get everything is like in a package deal. I try and keep that to myself. I try not to discuss my personal finances. Generally, I love what I do. So it is very rewarding though. But I try and pay my installers as much as I can because, I see them as my partners too.
Yeah. That's great. So what are your plans here for the future, for the near future, as far as, you know, adding more clients, adding more crews, you know, where are you headed here?
Well, we currently got offered, they said if I can handle them, they want me to do 34 of these remodels next year.
Okay.
Which is an incredible workload because I think I was doing one or two a year. So to go from one or two to 34, you know, I was like, it scared the hell out of me, but I think I'm capable. Yeah. It's going to be a long four. They want it to done in 4 months.
Oh, wow.
So that still gives me 8 months to, you know, train people. So I'm going to be hiring some more guys and just training. And, you know, I'm at a loss at the beginning, but that's an investment that I have to make to have them ready to be able to handle that workload.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. So, so what are you actively doing to, so with that amount of workload, I mean, you really, can you take on more clients? Are you looking to grow locally or no?
I'm just looking, I definitely want to find more clients. Cause like I said, we have 8 months free time. You know, I don't want to work for 2 weeks a year, but I want maybe for about 46, 48. So with those, maybe like that's still less than half the year. I still want to find a lot of work where I have the opportunities to do different fields of installation so I can train my teams.
Okay. So when you get home, what are you going to do to work towards those goals? Just get, you know, more jobs, more clients, and then start building out, like, do you have a training center? How are you handling that?
Oh, yeah, yes. I am currently working on building a training center, pretty much a shop for us. Because in the winter, when it slows down, there's not going to be too much work. So I'm hoping to bring in my guys, you know, give them half days labor and teach them a few things that, you know, I'm researching or that I'm learning from somebody. So I'm trying to get involved with organizations that can teach me so I can teach them.
Nice. Yeah. And to that point, I mean, what organizations are you involved with and how do you take advantage of them? I think that's one of the biggest questions a lot of contractors have is they might know of these organizations, but maybe they're not sure how to, you know, what have you found to be really useful to implement into your business?
Well, I did do a lot of tile research. Last year I did my tile certification for inspections, which I knew I wasn't going to be an inspector, but I just wanted to begin with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. So I went to an inspection course and I just loved it. It was just a bunch of information, a bunch of science. And I was like, that's what I live for. So
yeah,
I learned about ceramic and then I did Schluter, Schluter one. It was really just, I'm just gathering information.
Yeah.
As well as some NTCA courses. I'm part of FCICA and that's the Floor Contractor Association. And I'm hoping to be part of the NAFCT when they get back to me. So,
right on. And so those courses, did you take the online NTCA courses?
I did a failures in your area workshop. Mm. And that just set me, I was like, wow, that we're not doing things too right. And now we're going to, you know, we're going to do things right. Nice. So, you know, just going to those courses, it's a, you know, it can be a crash course, but you shouldn't walk into anywhere expecting that you know more than the industry professionals. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do it how they told me. I'm going to trust in, you know, in the books that they gave me. And I'm going to try to do my best to these standards. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, it's solid advice. Solid advice. So it sounds like you are going to be expanding more into tile in the future then.
Yes, sir. Possibly. I'm hoping so.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Now, when it comes to building a team like this, I mean, obviously you're going from a handful of these stores a year to a possibility of over 30, did you say 34 or?
Yes, sir. That's what they offered us.
And that's going to start later next year, right?
Yeah. But spring to fall, I think.
Okay. So I'm curious to know, and I believe you have put some thought into this. How do you position? I mean, I'm sure multiple, you know, you can't be at every single store taking the lead. So are you identifying leaders that you're, you know, you've been, we talked about this a little bit already, but I just think there's more to dig into here because this is one of the biggest problems is, you know, splitting, getting teams together, getting leaders together. What are your thoughts on that? What are you doing? What have you learned to identify and then qualify leaders, put them in a role where they can really do the job without you having to be there?
Well, my leaders have to be able to teach specifically because if you can bring in, you know, four new people, but if you teach them, you know, one, two, three steps, you can make your system, you know, roll. Mm-hmm. You just got to develop your system. You got to be proficient at it. And you got to have the right investments, because you got to have your demolition machines. You got to move your fixture equipment, because you're going to outpace anybody who wants to tear apart by hand and put things on sliders. When, you know, you have two guys moving entire shoe racks down, you know, they could swing it to the other side of the store themselves. But you gotta find your proficiencies to beat the other teams, as well as, you know, have your strong leadership.
For sure. And it sounds like you've got an investment and quite a bit of heavy equipment then.
Yeah, currently I have enough to buy another one. I'm just going to ride out the winter. With another ride on, you have to buy another trailer, I do have another van, but I just need to get my hands on another trailer.
So it all adds up. Any words of wisdom or to that end? I mean, are you using banks? Are you funding this?
Yeah, I'm funding it all myself. I don't really pay myself too much. I kind of live in the business.
Yeah.
You know, my wife, we keep our spending to our minimum, because our business is what takes care of us. So we take care of our business.
Yeah.
You know, the investments, they don't feel too heavy when I know that my guys are going to save their backs on pulling carpet or anything.
Right. Yeah. And those machines, they last, you know, such a good long time. It's a good investment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you should not be doing commercial without any of these. It's remodels.
What would you say your biggest struggle right now is?
Currently just catching up on sleep. I mean, these stores were breezing through them. You know, I think I would love to sleep some more.
Yeah.
I think that that added some COVID-15 to myself, you know. But it's just everything's going well. I don't think I need to make any big changes right now.
That's cool.
Just like I said, more training, you know, investing in our shop and finding more guys. But there's a lot of people who need work right now. So I'm just getting contacted. And, you know, I have to filter them out. If they're not a good fit for us, then they can't be with us. You know?
Where do you run your ads, your help wanted ads?
Well, it's actually a lot of word of mouth. I try and avoid, it's all by reference. It's somebody that knows somebody that's looking for work, you know, because when you have that conversation with a friend, you're looking for an opportunity.
Yeah.
So a lot of time you're willing to give it a lot more effort. And a lot of these guys, they show up and they just bust butt. And I was like, I really like them. And I'm not in there yelling at them. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Let me teach you this and, you know, have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny. If you have employees that you like, the best place to find more employees is with those employees. Do you do that? Do you say, hey, we're hiring? Do you guys have any friends or family members?
Yeah, we do that consistently.
Yeah.
And eventually we have a little team meeting. It's like, hey, how's, this guy doing? They're like, he can do better. And like, all right, we'll talk to him. We'll try and, round out those rough edges. And eventually they either make the team or they don't, but we're trying to build top quality teams. We want one of the best teams out there.
Yeah.
If not the best.
So. Yeah. What is your big vision for the company?
Oh, I don't want to handle a bunch of teams. I just want to have my one, specific polished team that can handle anything and everything. But I want to lead into contracting, a lot of local contracting. Myself. So that's what I'm saving up my capital for, to be able to afford those investments.
Explain a little further. I might have not heard you correctly. Contracting? Like,
yeah, I want to do a lot more contracting. Start competing with those guys that give us the work. Just handling a lot more of it. Cause I feel like a lot of the times they mess up a lot.
So like building homes or building structures from the ground up, or?
It's just, yeah, specifically construction, or commercial, sorry. I want to stick to commercial. I avoid residential, so my proficiencies are commercial.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So just handle more. You would like to handle more of the general contracting.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool. And what are your plans? I mean, what's the next step to get there?
Just time. We just need to wait for the right time. It's everything's going really good. We're doing better than expected. Yeah. I had a 5 to 7 year plan about how I was going to get there, but it's looking a lot better than that. So
you were ahead of schedule.
We're ahead of schedule. Hopefully next year goes well.
Yeah.
Everyone stays healthy and, you know, I'm taking a paternity leave. I tell myself, but I'm gonna be doing a lot of physical therapy and training and exercising, because you have to kind of build yourself up.
Yeah.
You can't just walk into the season, out of condition and right. Expect to make it to the end.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's so true. So what would you, a lot of folks out there, you know, they are interested as well in commercial work. What would you tell them if they're looking to make the switch from residential to commercial? What would you tell them as far as advice? Hey, have a heads up here.
Well, just maintaining your stress, maintaining your cool. And a lot of these situations, like Mr. Ron Nash posted, it's flooring, not life or death. And then having good partners. You got to have good installation partners. You know, you should have your leads. You should have your sides, people cutting, whatever. You can have people running your thin set, laying your tile, and then doing your cuts. And then, you know, designing your system. So, like, how am I going to pump out, 8,000 square feet of ceramic tile a day? You got to have a lot of people to move that.
Yeah.
But, building your system to make that happen, filling the role with the right people, that's going to help a lot.
Nice. That's solid advice. Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, create the system and just go for it. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most things that you can have, like, as an intellectual property, because everybody does everything different. But also having that freedom to, like, hey, if you find a better way to do it, do it. You know, the Toyota mindset, like, if you know a better way to do this, I'm not going to give you, heck about it.
Yeah.
So everybody's just refine every day. We just learn something new. We do something better. And eventually, we're just blowing through the work because you just got so good at it.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to, record this episode. I know it's going to help a lot of people, Ed. And I know where can people find you? I know you're going to get some people wanting to reach out and learn from you. I don't talk to a lot of commercial guys, so I really appreciate you taking the time to share your knowledge. Where are you? You're on Facebook, right?
Yeah, currently on Facebook. We don't do any advertising. We don't have a website. It's all private clients. I've never been the advertisers. It's been references, word of mouth. I'm very private about that. And you got to be very serious about what you're offering me, and because we'll back it up, we can handle our stuff, and just give me an address and give me the check at the end of the job, and hopefully no callback training.
There you go. Yeah. Right on. Yep. Just and Ed's, in the Facebook group Tile Money, you can look for him, Eduardo Martinez. And again, really appreciate your time, Ed. And I know this podcast will hit home with a lot of people, so appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity to get my line spoken out there.
Yep, my pleasure. All right, tile friends, that was another great interview with Ed Martinez. I really appreciate him sharing this knowledge. I really like how he views his team. He wants to build leaders. He wants his leaders to be able to teach. He wants to, let go of those reins and build something and scale this. And that's really the mindset, that entrepreneur mindset, that is going to propel Ed and his company forward. It's gonna be good. I'm excited to watch Ed's company grow and continue having discussions. If you want to meet him and talk to him, he's in the Facebook group, so come on over and say hi. All right, tile friends. Well, that's it for this week. Until next week, stay profitable out there. And remember, if you need a website, head over to happytileguy.com. We are making websites for tile contractors. So talk to you soon, tile friends. Have a good evening.